I don't know about you. I've had some guarantees in my life. And somehow or another, that guarantee is really not a guarantee. Because when the expiration date is up, that guarantee is no longer valid. Guarantee on a car, as long as I stay within the confines of what the contract say. But I got a guarantee from God. Revelations chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 6. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I don't know about you. I've been taking the time on this time side of life. You know, we know what graffiti is, huh?
Yes, sir.
I've been trying to make sure that my name is written in. Come on, y'all. Somewhere down the line, the child of God understands this Christian walk is a walk that is designed, it is a dress rehearsal to get us prepared for the hereafter. And so this morning, as we look at the Word of God, as we celebrate Friendship Day, but really it is the first day of the week that we celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we also just added a little bit that I don't think is contrary to the Word. We're just trying to see if we can get some friends.
Amen.
To see how good God is. Is God good?
Amen. Amen.
Convince me. Is God good?
Amen.
Now, if we were at a basketball game,
yeah,
and Kobe was playing, boy, you would be hollering and screaming. And you can't holler and scream for the God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. The God that said, I'll never leave you, nor would I forsake you. The God that says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest if you take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the God that I serve.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, when it's come time for kingdom business, all the other business in the world just don't matter to me.
Amen.
You know why? Because I know one day he gonna call me.
Amen.
That's right. I already know he gonna call me. He has a time set up that he's gonna call me from labor to reward.
Amen.
You notice what I said? Labor to reward. What is he gonna call you to? Labor or damnation? I don't even think about that. Because in the day that I stand before him, all I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. So once again, it is really good to see each and every one of you as we think about friendship and what it really means. You know, I think the wisest man on the face of the earth had something to say about that. And I like the way he puts it in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. And listen to what the wisest man on the face of the earth would say. I'm reminded when Solomon received his kingdom. He went to God and he asked God, give me wisdom that I may know how to guide your people. And God said, because you didn't ask for anything else but wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you everything that your heart can imagine. And guess what? It had turned him away from his God. But he came to the conclusion that it was all vanity and vexation of the soul. In Ecclesiastic chapter 12 and round about verse number 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's life all about? You know, you might be thinking yourself, what is life all about? Is it about getting ready for tomorrow? I know some of y'all's mind is already on the job tomorrow. It ain't about that. What it's about is fearing God and keeping his commandments, because the wise man Solomon said, for this is the whole duty of man. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. The wise man Solomon said, a man that has a friend must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that friend I want to tell you about this morning.
Come on, bro.
All right, I'm ready to shout.
Come on.
This friend is Jesus.
Amen.
Because when I leave you, and when no one else want to be bothered with you, there's a friend that stick closer than a brother. But in order for this friend to be your friend, there's something you got to do. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose his life. But whosoever desires to save, to give his life for my sake, shall find it. Then Jesus says, what does it profit a man? You know, we live in a world where it's all about the mighty dollar, isn't it not? Amen? Is it in the church? Ought not to be, but it is. It's not about the dollar. It's not about power. It's about this friend. And I want to show you this morning that when you have a friend in Jesus, you'll be a friendly individual to everyone you come in contact with. That's what Solomon is talking about. Solomon said, he who has a friend must first of all show himself friendly. How friendly are you to your next door neighbor? You know that one that throws the dog stuff in your yard? You know that neighbor of yours that you barely speak to? Come on, y'all. You know that neighbor, y'all, that always on your nerves, that every time you look up, he got his car parked across your driveway and you can't get in? How friendly are you to your neighbor? See, because in order to have a friend, the wise man Solomon said, you must show yourself friendly. But then he says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that friend, my friends, is the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we look at what a friend is, I want to remind you that there's no friend better than the friend that comes in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in order for us to really be a friend to him, we must understand that he commands us to do something. Amen. In John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12, I'm going to show you that a true friend is able to do what God requires of him. And when he says there is a friend that sticks closer to than a brother, the friend he's talking about is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12, the Bible says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he will lay down his life for his friend. How many of y'all are willing to die for me? Oh, you're probably saying I will. But when the rubber meets the road, that's the key. How many of us are really, really ready to lay down our lives for him? You know, I'm learning that talk is cheap. You know, and I got that lesson, you know, talking loud and saying nothing. Huh? You ever talk loud and say really absolutely nothing? But see, when we talk about being a friend of Jesus, Jesus says you have to give up the very essence of you in order for you to follow me. That means what I want and what I think is important really is not important. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, round about verse number 16, the Bible says, all things were made by him, for him. So if we're made for Christ Jesus, who told you you can do your thing? Huh? Not my Bible. Because the Bible that I read talks about that we must first surrender our will to the will of the Father. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that he will lay down his life for his friend. Verse 15, 14, the Bible says, ye are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you to do. See, Jesus requires that you and I do something. First and foremost, he requires that we recognize the God of heaven and to recognize him in such a way that the world around us know exactly who we are. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, Jesus gives us two commandments. What's those two commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is like the first. Love thy neighbor. How many of y'all have self-destruct attitudes? See, because when you love your neighbor as yourself, that means you understand that you got a friend in Jesus. And that friend Jesus loves an individual regardless of where they come from, regardless of what they look like. Why? Because a true friend understands that he must first and foremost show himself friendly. God has commanded you and I to love one another. God is the example of having a friend. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In Genesis chapter 1, after man messed up, Genesis chapter 3, messed up in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God saw fit to reconcile sinful man back to himself. So he sent a Savior. The Savior came to reconcile you and I back to his Father. Amen. That's why John would say, God so loved the world, he did what? He gave what? The very best of heaven. And sometimes don't we have a hard time giving God 1 hour? Amen, walls. I'm reminded of Jesus as he prepared to go to the cross. The Bible said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he got his disciples and he asked them, could you not stay here? Watch 1 hour. The Bible said he went away and came back and found them asleep. He says, wake up. I mean, y'all need to wake up.
Amen.
Don't go to sleep on me. I know your eyes might be heavy, but don't go to sleep spiritually.
Amen.
See, I'm not talking about physically waking up. I'm talking about spiritually understanding that one day God's going to call you. You know, I don't know why folks think that when a person dies, it's sudden. God don't do anything suddenly. God's plan is for all of mankind. And when your time is up, guess what? He gonna call you.
Amen.
I don't know how he got there, but that didn't cost you nothing. But we need to understand that in order to be a true friend to Jesus Christ, it requires us to do something. First and foremost, you gotta be willing to surrender.
Amen.
And how do I surrender? I gotta understand God's plan that he's laid out for mankind. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. And Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved us. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. Christ came and died on the cross to reconcile you and I back to his Father. John chapter 6 and round about verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Amen. And to give my life a ransom for many. How many of y'all are willing to give up your life for somebody else? Y'all quiet, that's what I thought. See, because when the rubber meets the road, that's when you can really ask yourself whether or not you're a true Christian. When I look at those apostles and I look at the deaths in which they received, do you not know some of them were, Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't think it was worthy to be. That's some powerful stuff. The Bible said they were sown asunder. They were cut in half. All that they did because they looked for a foundation not made with hands. Boy, that's some powerful stuff. But see, in order to be a true friend of Jesus, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, you got to ask yourself a question. Am I really living up to my friendship? Mm-hmm. Anybody got any fair weather friends? Huh?
Yes.
Are you a fair weather friend?
No.
Oh, I'm going to leave that alone. Because see, to be a true friend, the wise man Solomon said, you must show yourself friendly. And how do I become a friend of Jesus? I'm glad you asked me. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. You got to hear the word of God. You're hearing it this morning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You got to believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and in believing, you might have eternal life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who come to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How can I be so confident that when I die, I'm going where Jesus is? Because I rest my hope, my trust in him.
Amen.
And so I've learned some things over these 60-some years on this time side of life. The first thing I've learned is that money will make you a fool.
Amen.
Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen it. I know. I've learned that in order for me to do what thus saith the Lord, my mind must be focused more on Him and less on me and everything else. That's why the Hebrew writer says, keep yourself free from the love of money. Learn to be content. Isn't it difficult to be content when you got wants here and there? But I've learned. You got to learn to be content. Because God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And then He says, so with confidence. How confident are y'all this morning? Somebody's getting ready to come through that door with a machine gun. And he's got a question. Anybody in here Christian, you're getting ready to meet him. I wonder how many of us would tear that door down trying to get up out of here. Or would we just really stand firm in our Christian walk? See, because that's what it's all about. Really, when the rubber meets the road and your true test of Christianity come about, that's where you'll know whether or not you believe in what you believe. The Bible says you must not only hear, believe, you must repent of your sins. You got to make some changes. And I'm learning that this is an ongoing thing in my Christian life. I'm learning how to keep my mouth shut when I want to take your head off. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
I learned how to depend on God to take care of you and for me to take care of me. That's biblical. You didn't know that. Romans chapter 12, round about verse 19. Brothers, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Therefore, if thy enemy hungers, feed him. Feed somebody that is messing over you. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome with evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. Luke 13 and verse number 3, one must repent of his sins. One must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men, he says, I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible teaches that I must be buried in water for the remission of my sins. It is in the watery grave that I become his friend. Why? Because I understand his commandment. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. This morning, church, are you a friend to Jesus? Is your life in harmony with what thus saith the Lord? And if not, I encourage you, repent of your sins, get on the right track. It's just that simple. I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning that we have a friend in Jesus, but Jesus does require something of us. Point number one, he requires first and foremost that we have his mindset. I'm learning, in order for me to be a true friend of Jesus, I got to think like him.
Amen.
You ever heard somebody, you need to think like so-and-so? Why? Because look at their lifestyle. See, in order to be a friend like Jesus, I got to think like him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Peter said, and all that desire to live godly in this present world will what? Suffer persecution. As a child of God, prepare yourself to suffer. And where your biggest problem going to come from? You ever ask yourself where my biggest problem is? Well, the Bible tells us. Your biggest problem is going to be those of your own household. Amen. Mm-hmm. This is a household.
Amen.
Problem never comes from the outside. It's always from within. I don't know how I got there, but that don't cost you nothing either. So you got to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Amen. Every tongue will confess. See, you don't have to bow right now. You don't have to confess him right now. Matter of fact, you don't even have to be his friend. But guess what? There's going to come a time when you're going to need him. And I'm reminded of what he told Israel in 1 Chronicles. There's going to come a time that you're going to seek me and you ain't going to find me. Matter of fact, I'm going to laugh at your problems. What kind of God is that? See, we always put God as a kind and loving God. But the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13, round about verse number 25, our God is a jealous God. Our God is a consuming fire. So that tells me he loves us, but at the same time, if we don't, you know how you do your children? You love your child as long as he do what you say.
Amen.
Let him do something you don't like. Not only will you beat him half to death. Well, y'all might not do that today because we got child protective. You see how the world has mixed us so much? How bad the world is? We allow the world to dictate to us how to raise our children. And I tell mine, when you call them, make sure your bags are packed. Because ain't nothing I can do for you. When are we going to take back the responsibility of raising our children?
Amen.
Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
That's in my book.
Amen.
How many of us depend on the world to dictate to our children? Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all, we done got so sophisticated, every child got a phone. Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. That ain't part of my lesson. Electronics dictate to us how we even serve our God. Mm-hmm. Church, somewhere down the line, the believer has to understand that my true friendship is in Christ Jesus. And the only way I'm going to learn about my friend, I got to get in the book.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. See, first and foremost, you got to have the mind of Christ. It is in the mind of Christ that you and I understand what God really requires of us. Not only must I have the mind of Christ, I must be willing to work in the vineyard. Amen. Who told you can come in here and just sit? Huh? Nobody told you that. I know you've been doing it for 20, 30 years. But who told you? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Are you a laborer or are you a burden? Somewhere down the line, as God's people, if we're really a friend to him, it's all about kingdom business. That's why Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, Paul says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and in trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things. Say it with me. Do all things
without
murmuring. Half of y'all didn't say murmuring. You probably did, but a whole lot of folks didn't say it. Because you can't do all things without murmuring. Yes, you can.
Amen.
Because see, if you're a friend to Jesus, you learn how to stop complaining.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, forgive me. You learn how to stop. Do all things without murmuring. Help me out here, y'all. Come on. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. The next verse, verse 15, says that you might be blameless. Church, somewhere down the line, this thing has to click. If I'm a friend to Jesus, then Jesus wants me to do what he has commanded me to do. And that's the final point. The final point is that we must do the will of the Father in order to be a friend to Jesus. Jesus wants his church to be the light of the world, does he not? Matthew
yeah.
chapter 5, verses 13 and following. Are we the light?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Are we these old fluorescent tubes? Mm-hmm. Some of us are LEDs. Some of us are watts. Somewhere down the line, as God's people, we make the difference. And I don't know about you. I've been telling you for the past month or so, we must change our vocabulary in serving our God. The Bible says do all things, and we say we can do some things. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, I can do And we say we can do some things. Until we change our vocabulary with the word of God, church, it's going to be difficult for you to do anything for the Lord. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says God looked around and he saw nobody he could send. The prophet Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. How many of us are ready for kingdom business? Now, see, I've learned you can tell a lie as well as sing a lie. But how many of us are ready for kingdom business? There's a world out here that's hurting. Amen. How many of your next door neighbors are hurting with the truth? And what have we done? We've just packaged it up nice and neatly and put it on the shelf. You know why? Because in order to be a friend of Jesus, that means you got to be ready to be stepped on.
Amen.
That means you got to be ready to be crucified and persecuted.
Yes, sir.
But I want to show you the reason why I'm a friend of Jesus, because he's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. And so it doesn't matter what the world has to say in my service to him, because I know he's promised me something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 1, listen to the confidence that Paul has in his relationship to God. He says, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Are we there? Do we have that kind of mindset? Because see, when you're a true friend of Jesus, that's your mindset. Job had the mindset. Do we have the mindset like Job? Job chapter 1, when Job came to present himself before the Lord, guess who was with him? Satan. And guess who walks with you?
Well, I hope not.
I hope the Lord is walking with you. But if not, the Bible said, God said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the face of the earth. And I like the devil, because the devil thinks he can get you. He said he ought to be upright. He ought to fear you. You got a hedge around him. Mm-hmm. See, that's what motivates me. That's what keeps me going. God has me hedged around, and I know the only time he takes the hedge down is when I sin.
Amen.
And so therefore, I'm aware of my sin. I'm aware of trying not to murmur. I'm aware of not trying to dispute, because I know when I do, God takes the hedge down, because God is not around me when sin is present in my life. Uh-huh. That's right. When the first day of the week roll around, I don't need you to tell me what time it is. I don't need no alarm clock. Why? Because I prepared myself to be here on the first day of the week. See, Saturday, most people go out and play. Not me. I try to keep my mind ready, because the next day is the Lord's day. So nothing else matters today. I know y'all ready to go. I hear the juices in your stomach, and I hear you growling and going on. You ready to go. Amen. Y'all know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. See, it's hard to deny the truth. But church, I'm learning somewhere down the line, as God's people, if we really are going to be a friend to Jesus, we got to show ourselves friendly, and we got to take the time to serve him.
Amen.
In conclusion, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the midst of all the controversy and things that go on, Jesus said, if I keep his word, he will abide with us, and I can abide with him. It is in the word of God that keeps me motivated and enthused. In the midst of everything that goes on, I'm learning to depend on Jesus, to trust Jesus, regardless of circumstances and situations.
Amen.
Why? Because life is short. Death is sure. Eternity, where will you spend it? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1, therefore, since we have this ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, submitting ourselves unto every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, yes, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Do you realize what Paul is saying here? Paul said, God has commissioned you and I to take the gospel to the lost. And if we take the gospel to the lost, then he says, you are my friend. Why? Because we keep his commandments. But verses 7 and following is where I want to drop my hat on the last two verses. But he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are troubled on every side. Anybody got trouble? Anybody got any trouble? Doesn't it seem like Satan throws everything in his arsenal at you? And sometimes you won't do this, huh? Well, do that, because it's in the Bible. Lift up holy hands. But don't give up. It says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. But not cast down. I'm sorry. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. For we live, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. For we have the same measure of spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are of your sake, that the abundance grace might through the thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of God. For which cause, and I want to drop it right there on these two, three verses. For which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight in glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Who's your friend this morning? Turn and look at the person next to you and call him your friend. You're my friend. And I want you to realize that there is a friend that sticks closer than the person sitting next to you. And that friend is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, have you mistreated your friend? If you have, repent. Get on the right track. It's just that simple. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ, I want you to know that the friend is standing with open arms. He says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is knocking at somebody's heart this morning.
Amen.
Asking you to come out of darkness into this marvelous light. How do I do it? By obeying his gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, yes, Christ. After one goes through the watery grave, he adds you to the church, which is his body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And then he gives you the third person of the Godhead.
Amen.
He gives you his spirit.
Amen.
And when he gives you his spirit, it has a purpose. That's to guide and direct you, but you got to learn to trust,
amen,
the spirit of God. Wise man Solomon once again would say in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him, and guess what God will do? He'll direct your path. If you're here this morning, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encounter.